New Yorkers get to vote for some of the city's judges, but most of the decisions are made long before Election Day, when political leaders handpick the judicial candidates. WNYC's Kat Aaron looks at the woman who took on the system.
Back in 1992, Margarita Lopez Torres was elected to Brooklyn's Civil Court. A few years later, she wanted to run for the city's Supreme Court, a step up the judicial ladder. And she needed the support of Vito Lopez, a powerful Brooklyn Democrat. So they met up, says James Sample, a professor at Hofstra University. Vito Lopez told her that to be considered for a nomination,
she, Margarita Lopez Torres, would have to hire as a law clerk Vito Lopez's daughter.
She said no thanks.
For rejecting that overture, she was, in essence, blackballed.
Lopez Torres was undaunted. Year after year, she asked Brooklyn Democratic leaders to back her at the annual judicial convention, where elected delegates rubber-stamp the party choice. Year after year, they declined. So in 2004, she sued the State Board of Elections. Sample was part of her legal team.
The case felt like a long shot.
But she won, in the district court and the Second Circuit. Then, in 2007, the U.S. Supreme Court weighed in.
We'll hear argument first today in case 06766, New York State Board of Elections versus Torres.
The case hinged on whether voters have a real voice in judicial elections. Frederick Schwartz represented Lopez Torres in a lively oral argument. Voters have no say, he said. Party bosses are in total control.
Never in the history of New York, not in the Republican Party, not in the Democratic Party, not in New York City, not in upstate, never has someone who was opposed by the party boss been able to become a judge.
And I don't know.
It's not a closed system, countered Theodore Olson for the New York State Board of Elections. Voters pick the party bosses. That's their voice. Plus, outsiders can run for delegate. They can run as an independent candidate.
So there is way after way after way for individuals in New York to participate in the election process. So
none of those ways have ever worked, but they exist, and that's enough. The court agreed.
In an opinion filed with the clerk today, we reverse the judgment of the Second Circuit and hold that New York's election law does not violate respondents' First Amendment rights.
Party leaders picking their people, that's just how it's done. Justice Scalia.
Party conventions with their attendant smoke-filled rooms and domination by party leaders have long been an accepted manner of selecting party candidates.
Accepted, maybe, but deeply flawed, says Sample.
The system of smoke-filled rooms is producing candidates and ultimately judges who owe extraordinary debts of gratitude to very specific individuals.
And that's dangerous, he argues.
There's never, of course, well, not never, there is rarely an express quid pro quo involved that anyone can prove, because if that were true, we'd be talking about criminal bribery.
Or extortion. Clarence Norman, who led the Brooklyn Democrats before Vito Lopez, was convicted in 2007 for shaking down aspirants to the civil court. That's rare, but leaving out the voters, picking candidates in that same old room, that's been the norm since Meade Esposito ran the Brooklyn Democrats. He spoke with WNYC's Tom Manning in 1980.
One candidate is the way to do it. We all get behind him, and we go.
Chosen in a so-called smoke-filled room?
Whatever you want to call it, Macy's basement. Anywhere, as long as you get the right candidate there.
The right candidate. In a democracy, voters are supposed to make that choice. And sometimes they make unusual choices, as we've seen in the presidential race this year. But Dennis Hawkins, head of the Fund for Modern Courts, says party leaders don't do it better.
I don't want to talk about current political party leaders, but if people who live in Brooklyn feel confident that Meade Esposito, Clarence Norman, and Vito Lopez were picking the most qualified people to be judges, you know, I really have to question whether that makes sense.
There are some tremendous judges in the city courts, Hawkins says. But still, more than a decade after Margarita Lopez Torres sued the state, good people get left out because they don't have the party connections.
Right now, if you're not a party activist, if you don't belong to a political club, if you don't work for that club, you will never be nominated at these judicial conventions.
No other state has judicial conventions like New York's. The legislature could create a different system, one that gave voters a real voice instead of a rubber stamp. But state legislators, the ones with the power to make that change, many of them help pick judicial candidates.
And making a judge is a very powerful tool of a politician.
Politicians don't control every judgeship, though. Judge Lopez Torres now sits on the surrogate court, a role that is directly elected by the voting public. For WNYC, I'm Kat Aaron.